Tosis Harini Mishalim Umeis talks about the case of a shomer who died. And the nidain is whether his yarshim get the kefil. So Tosis Akasha Teima Heich Yishalim Udeya Nifka Kefil. Ha'ein Adam Mayrish Knas Labanav Kizam Breish Perak Narish Nisbatata. Taisis Baib Shver, he says, we have a rule, Ein Adam Mayrish Knas Labanav. A person doesn't give a Knas Birusha. So if the Kefil belonged to the father, to the Shomer, and he died, so B'chlal, it's not Shayach to be Mayrish Knas to others. Taisis Baib Shver. So I had a lot of hanor, because a few of you were Mechavin. The more of you were going to tell me about it, that this Taisis Kasha is only Lishitasai. We had a machlaikis we spoke about numerous times on Lamed Gimel and Lamed Dalet. When you pay kefil, Taisis Shita was that Guf HaPora Machaloi. That when you pay the Shomer, when the Shomer pays the Bailim, he has a kinyan in the Guf HaPora, he has a chelik in the Para itself. So since Taisis Shita was that the Shomer has a chelik in the Parah, and the Parah is stolen, the kefil is owed to who? Kefil is owed to him, to the Shomer. So now you could ask a kasha, if the Shomer dies, ain't other Mayrish kefil lebanav. But the Rambam Shita, which we said all along, was that the Guf HaBehema doesn't go to the Shomer. The Guf HaBehema belongs to the Bailin. The Shomer only gets the schus of the kefil. He only gets the rights to the kefil. But he doesn't own anything in the Guf HaBehema. So according to the Rambam Shita, who gets the kefil? So we said that the kefil goes to the Bailin. The Bailin then pass it on to the Shomer because they have a contract that whatever kefil they get, they have to give to the Shomer. But the Ganiv pays the kefil, according to the Rambam, to the Bailim, not to the Shomer. He pays it to the Bailim, and the Bailim contracted it out. They have to give it to the Shomer.
Here, why is the
receiver sees it as an investment. The payer, the Ganiv, is paying it off the Knas. Who, the Ganiv? The Shomer is the one that's not around. The Shomer died.
Alright, so the Shomer. Either way, they didn't make the deal over it. It wasn't a Knas. It was an investment.
It's true. But the point is, at the time, it's an investment. He's giving him money, and he'll get something later. But when the Ganav comes to pay, the Ganav's chiyuv is to pay a Knas. The question is, to whom does he pay? The kefil that he's paying is a Knas. And that knas, if he owed it to the Shomer dies, and he doesn't owe it anymore. Because anytime you owe a knas and the person dies, you don't have to pay it. That's Taisis cash. So that's only shver if you owe it to the Shomer. If you owe it to the Bailim, the Bailim is still alive, so there's no problem. You pay it to the Bailim, and then the Bailim have a dinanin, like an investment, to pay it to the Shomer.
That was the owner, the original Bailim.
If the original Baal died, then the Nafkamina will be the reverse. That according to the Rambam, the kefil should be gone. And according to Taisis, the kefil should still exist. It'll be the reverse Nafkamina. So this is another Nakuda that's totally in this Machlaikis between the Rambam and Taisis. One more Nakuda is in the Yar Sameach. The Sameach adds another nafkamina. Yesterday we spoke out of Machlaikis between the Rambam and the Rif against the Rush. By all the tekus, what do you do? So the Rambam said, and the Rif said, Yachloiku. That Hayais, it's an Ibaid Layevshita. So Yachloiku, say he split. The Rush asked, he said, what do you mean? If it's a Safik, it should go to the Marikamim. which is the original Bailam of the Shar, and it should go to Marikama. That was his kasha. Zaktar Sameach, the Rosh is going like Taisus Shita. He's going the Shitasa. He heals like Taisus. Then when you pay the Kefil, when the Shomer pays the Bailam, what happens? The Shomer has to receive part of the Guf HaBehema. So the Dintaira is, in all the Tekus, does he receive part of the Guf HaBehema? No, that's the Shomer. Did he receive part of the Guf HaBehema? Then the Rosh is right. The Marikama is the Bailam. So he's right, the Marikama is the Bailam. You have a Suffolk. Did he get what he paid? He paid Mechza or whatever, he paid for one part or whatever he did. Does he get it or doesn't he? So the Rosh is right, it's the Marikama. But the Rambam doesn't hold that way. The Rambam holds there's no Suffolk about the Guf HaPara. The Guf HaPara Zicha belongs to the Bailam. The Shaila is the rights to Kefil were they sold. The rights to Kefil never existed. The whole idea of Kefil never existed before. There was no Barikama on the rights to Kefil. The rights to Kefil came to existence when it was stolen. At that moment, when it came into existence, there's no Barikama. The question is, did he sell him the rights to the Kefil or did he not sell him the rights? There is no Barikama. Since there's no Barikama, the Rambam says, Yechloik. So weiter, it's totally in this machlaik is whether the nidoin of the sugya is the guf hapara or not the guf hapara. What I did, and I'd like to pass this around, is I tried to make a list. I shouldn't say I tried to make a list. I tried to make a complete list of the nafkaminas between the Rambam and Tosis that we passed. I'm sure I missed something because Dekala Peiraisa I didn't even go into. But I think these are the nafkaminas. If you want to chazer the different sugis that we touched on, except for Dekala Peiraisa, which isn't in here, but everything we touched on in the last 2 weeks, that so much of it was telling the Machlekes Rambam and Taisus. What is this list? The top, the stuff in the top, it's easier. As you go down, it gets a little more difficult. But the first thing was number one, was the whole proof that this is the Rambam Shita was the Guf HaBehema Chazeres LaBailam. The Rambam Shita, then in the case of the Mishnah, where you catch the Ganiv, you caught the Ganiv, and the Kefil goes to the Shomer. But the Rambam Shita was that the Guf HaBehema goes to the Bailam. And we said, like Tosis, it's not that way. The Guf HaBehema goes to the Shomer. And then 2 and 3, we had also pretty easy nafkaminas. The first one, number two, is Vlodais, after Geneva. Who gets babies? Vlodais, Ladavka Vlodais, Gizais and Vlodais, after the Geneva. Who gets them? So we said, like Taisus, it goes to the, like the Rambam, it goes to the Bailam, like the Shomer goes to Taisus. That stands for Maga Mishnah. Maga Mishnah said this Nafkamina. Third Nafkamina was Yukra Dacher Geneva, very similar to number two. If it goes up in value after Geneva, whether it goes to the Bailam, which was the Rav had said Beferish, we assume the Rav goes to Rambam Shita. And we assume that, like Taisus, it goes to the Shomer. Number four, who's the balabos to be miayish on the Geneva? Right, the nafkaminas. If the miayish, the ganif has certain kaiches in the behema. If it goes up afterwards, he gains. Who's the balabos for yush on the Geneva? So that's number four. Yush the Geneva toli bebailim. I think that was in the Arsameach. According to Taisus, not. Why? Vaita, exactly the same thing. According to the Rambam, the pora itself is the bailim. So he's the balabos to be miayish. According to the Taisus, it's the Shomer. Okay, number five already, you have to remember, Bechor, Bitzior, the Tshuvas HaRamah. Okay, the Tzior, in the case of the Tshuvas HaRamah. Remember, the Tshuvas HaRamah was where a Yid went into a store, paid for an animal, didn't take possession. It was stolen. After it was stolen, the guy paid the yid for voluntarily paid, didn't have to pay, because, like the tzad that the yid was kind of the animal. So the guy voluntarily paid the yid. And now a bechor is born. The question is, when the guy voluntarily pays the yid, does it become the guy's guf habehema, which would be the Rambam Shita, or does it remain, which would be Taisa Shita? Okay, when the guy voluntarily paid the geneva to the yid. If you learn like Taisus, the guy gets the guf habehema. So then the child is not a bechor. If you learn like the Rambam, the guy zecher doesn't get the guf habehema because he paid. Maybe he gets a right to kefil, but not the guf habehema. So then the animal belongs to the guy, and it is a bechor. Number six was Reb Chaim's explanation. Number six is not an afkamina, it's just the lumdis. Was the chi of kefil goes to the bailam, and from the bailam to the shomer, according to that's how Reb Chaim explained the Rambam. According to Taisus, the kefil zicha goes straight to the shomer. So when we spoke that out, we had the nafkamina number seven was if the bailam are meichel the kefil, who's the balabas to be meichel? That's a consequence of Reb Chaim's hesber. Number eight is what we just spoke out. Meis shomer is a Rambam says, Loi Mikri Mayrish Knas. And Taisus holds it's called Mayrish Knas. Taisus has a kasha. Okay, number nine, I just want to review with you, because that was, of all the things on the list, that was the complicated one. Okay, number 10 is Teiku, what I just spoke out. By Teiku, number 10 is, the Rambam says, there's no Dintaira at the Guf HaBehemus, there's no Marikama. Dintaira is only the Kefil. According to Taisus, the Dintaira is on the Guf HaBehemus. So there is a Marikama. Number nine was the complicated issue of the Arsameach, where the Shomer said it was listed Mizuyim. The Shomer said it was listed Mizuyim, which means there's no Kefil. It turns out it was a regular Ganav, there is Kefil. When the Shomer says listed Mizuyim, do we say, Hadas Baldin Kamea Edim, you don't have to pay Kefil? The Shomer itself is Maidah that it's not. So what our Sameah said is according to the Rambam, if the Shomer says list of Mizuyin, Eidos Baldin Kameya Eidim, so is the Shomer a Balabas on this? No, he doesn't part to the Kefil. So the Kefil goes to the, like Reb Chaim said, the Kefil goes to the Bailam. The Shankan, according to Taisvis, he does part to the Kefil. It is Eidos Baldin. Why? Because according to Taisvis, the guf habehema belongs to the shomer. And if the shomer himself says it was listed mizuyin, it patters. That was the arsameach chilek between Taisus and the Rambam.
I don't think that's the whole machlokes is telling him how to patch up that brisa.
It's funny. It comes down. It seems to come down to that. To how to patch up the brisa, which would seem to be a machlokes hasugis the way we understood according to Rashi. Which would make the whole machlekes into a machlekes hasugis, which could be, because those who wanted to answer up, because Tais himself said it's telling the two tzedakim of the Ibaya, so it could be. So the arrow, as a result of that machlekes and lamdis, the brisa on Lamed Aleph, where it said Tanya Kavase, who is the Rabbi Yechanan, it's a talking about list of mizuyim, which is the way the Tzais pointed out, it's a Gemara, it's talking about the Mizuyin. But Rashi said the Bryce is talking about a regular Ganev, Kepirish Rashi. As a result of that, Machlaikis was the Machlaikis of Tzais in the Bach. The Bach said you have to say Hareini Mishalim to get Kefil. Because in that Bryce it said Gonav and Hareini Mishalim. So I said it's no Raya, because Gonav means list of Mizuyin, so that's why you have to say Hareini Mishalim. So these are the 10 Nafkaminis which span really the whole Sugya. The only thing really not included in this sheet is the discussion we had by Dekel Peirosov, how it works, and is not included. And also the Rashba and Rabbi Kivager about the reason you give the kefil is because he's not being matriachu to Bezdin, or because of or because you're getting money, which is a separate machlokes. We can make a list of nafkaminas. But this is the ikar. Anytime you talk to somebody about the sugya here, this is the ikar lomdus throughout the sugya. I don't know if it's because it's a Reb Chaim, that anybody who learns Hamafkid, this is what Hamafkid's about this two ways. Or even without Reb Chaim, it seems that there are some certainly Nemdon that this was an ikar in going through the entire sugya. So, sort of as we're going to start to move on to the next sugyas, this you have to have klar, two ways to learn, Reb Chaim and... All right, so this is what you have to be able to come away with. You should be able to go through this list and understand all the nafkaminas. If you can't, put in the time, make sure you could. Okay? Let's get back to the Gemara. Taisus Shal Min Aisha. Taisus brings in here a side inyan. Gemara talks about the Isha and her husband, their relationship money-wise. Rashi said the husband's an apotropis for the woman. Perish Rashi, para minichse malod. Shakeret shalah peris labal. Vikasha. Maikam ibai. What's the shayla? It's pasha, taktaisis. Yishal para min ayisha, kilo shalah peris min abal. It's all toli zebezeh. The guf hapara and the peris, it's one thing, it's one para. The guf ha-para is nechse malog, belongs to the isha. The peres belong to the baal. Whatever you do, when you borrow, you're borrowing both. If you pay back the baal is the apotropis on the wife, nechse malog. She gets married. Whatever she has, the baal runs the business. If it's a para, he takes care of the para. And it's on nechse malog. Whatever will happen at the end of their lives, he'll die first, or he'll give me megarisha, he'll give it, it goes back to her. But the whole... Nidans of Tais, I don't understand. It's all one thing, the para, the payris of the para, it's all one. So Tais's first pshat, Yesh Liyashiv, which Tais's is Maidiz Adaychik, but Tais's first pshat is Yesh Liyashiv, Sheshilein Labal Chelkai Kamashai Seshava Lepayresel, Veloy Shila Makarim. Tais's here is Mechadesh that you could split it. You could split the woman's chelik. The Karen, and the husband's chalik, which is the Paris. So that if you have a para of Nichse Malog, there are two parts to the para. The Guf HaPara and the Nichse Malog of the para, the Paris that the husband gets. Now Rav Maisha, in the Igris Maisha, has a Shaila, but before that I just want to explain Taisvis. That the Gemara Shaila, well, certainly Taisa says there's a difference between the Guf HaPara and the Paris. Guf HaPara is just to the Isha, and even if you're not going to pay the Isha, there's the Paris. Gemara Shaila is, when you pay just the Paris to the Baal, is that enough to get Kev? Let's say you have a man, he's got a Para of an Isha. So let's say the Para is worth $5,000. And he rents it out, he makes on it $500 a year. A ganav steals the para. He holds it for a year, they catch him a year later. How much does he have to pay? How much does he have to pay in a normal case? How much does he have to pay? Huh? What's the answer? Huh? He stole a $5,000 para, which normally would make $500 to the husband. He's paying at the end of the year. So he pays back the $5,000 para. Why don't we say he has to pay the husband $500? It's not a loan. It's not ribbis, but it's not ganev. It's not what he stole. What?
He's paying kilo interest on something that I would make money.
He's paying kilo interest, which in Torah is not mechayev. A ganev only has to pay. So in a case where you pay the guf hadover, Ramesh is not talking about that. When you pay the guf hadover, there's no question that a ganev never pays more than he originally took. The nidin is only in a case where someone steals nechse malug from a woman, and he does not have to pay. Let's say she's meichel. the woman is meichel to the ganiv, the nechse malot. The question is, do you still have to pay the $500 that the husband lost? Do you have to pay to the husband what he would have had? The way the Shailas of Ekeshtelt Nigris Moshe, a woman got, sounds like reparations from Germany. She received a large amount of money after the war. The money was payable to her, not to her husband. And when she received it, Moshe writes, it was a case of a couple, they had no children. They were an older couple, they didn't need the money. She took the money that she got, she gave it to a Gabbai Tzedakah, and she instructed him, half the money she give to Tzedakah right away, she give to Aniyim, and the other half, Lacher Misasa, that it should be a schus when she dies, the other half of the money the Gabbai should give later. And Kacha Asa, that's what the Gabbai did. He gave half of the money to Aniyim, and he was holding on to the second half. The person asking the Shaila here is this Gabbai. The Gabbai asked Ramesha. He realized after that what he did was maybe Shaloi Kedin. The halacha is that from a married woman, you don't take large amounts of tzedakah without a husband's haskama. Dava mu'it. A woman can give, that's understood. But large amounts of tzedakah you don't take from a woman without her husband's haskama. So the Gabbai asked Rav Moshe that l'chayra he did Shaloi Kedin. He took this large amount of money without the husband's haskama. Maybe he has to give it back. That was the shaila that he asked, that the Gabbai asked to Rav Moshe. What?
The husband didn't say anything about it?
The husband, I don't know, maybe it was, it sounds like in the tshuva, he's totally unaware of the whole thing. He was unaware of it. She got the money and she gave it. That's the shaila. Rav Moshe says, it is true, but look, this money is the same alone. It's her money. Just like if a person comes into a marriage with something, it's hers. If she gets money for something that happened before marriage, it's also, it's her nechsei malog. It's her nechsei malog, which she gave away. Now, she really has no right to give it away. Because a woman is not supposed to give away nechsei malog that the husband has payers from. But if she gives away, whatever she gives away is given. She owns the Karen. If she gives it away, as I shtei peferish and even as, that if she gives it away, it's given away. The shaila is, if the Gabbai who took it, when he took it now, he really only owned the Karen of it. The woman only owns the Karen of it, not the Paris. Whatever money the Nichsei Malug would make, she really go to the husband. So the shaila is whether the Gabbai has chiyuvei tashlumin on that money, the $500 a year would have made, the profit it would have made. Let's say it was $5,000, it would have earned 10%, but let's say 10%, would have made $500 a year. Does the Gabbai have to pay the husband either the $500? Well, if it would have earned it, it would be shaila if he asked him. Lamaisa didn't earn it. So he would have to pay what it's worth. What's it worth to have $5,000 that you can't have the keren, you can only have the profits from it? It's worth a certain amount of money. So that value, to have that kind of capital, that's the shaila, and Rav Moshe paskens that the guy, that is a chiv. That you have to pay that back. What? Not every year. If every year would earn profits, it would be shaila, whether you have to give the profits. Since it was, Lamaisa was given away. So shaila is, he was mazik, the husband's potential to make money. He took away from the husband money that the husband would have had, that he could have made money from, that's worth something. How do I know it's worth something? That's, many of you learn, Makis Daf Gimel. Where Adam Zaymimin try to cheat somebody. A person has a loan that he has to pay back in 10 years. Adam say he has to pay back in 30 days. So they, Adam, they try to cheat the difference between the 10 years and the 30 days. It's worth something. You want to hear a chiddush? Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva, he says, Poshetu, the following chiddush. Let's say you lend someone $1,000, and you lend it to him for a year. You lend someone $1,000 for a year. And after 2 weeks, you grab it back. You go to his house, and you grab back $1,000 from him. Do you owe him anything? Huh? I would think. You don't owe him anything. I mean, you didn't keep your word. You said you're going to lend him money for a year. But you took your $1,000 back. I would think you don't owe him anything. So Rav Moshe, he says, Poshetu, that you owe him what he could have made over the year from that $1,000. I don't know how you figure it out. If he would have invested in the markets or in the bonds or in the... I'm not sure how you calculate. But you have to calculate what's it worth to the average person to have $1,000 for a year. Is that interest that he's paying him? I give someone $1,000. He can put it in the bank and he can make 5%. So he'll make $50. I grabbed $1,000 back. So $1,000 is mine. I have to give him back $1,000. So Kramesha, but the $50 that it would have earned the interest over the year, I have to give him. Finish? What?
At the end of the year.
At the end of the year, I guess. The end of the year. It's funny, the way Moshe phrases it, I have to give it now. Moshe doesn't say the interest it would have earned. He says what it's worth to a person to have $1,000 for a year, I have to give it now. Something like that. Chiddush.
But the Moshe Shaila is, even if the husband didn't know about the wife?
That's the way I understood it. Yeah.
Because if the husband never knew about the money, the woman, although she can't give it away, she could. So she can give her, she could sell
whatever. I'm going to address what you're saying in a minute. One more in the Gris Maisha. Ramesha says, all right, he buys it on Taisvis. So Ramesha is saying that when you withhold someone's money, you have to pay what it's worth. We have a klal that somebody who prevents someone else from making money. Let's say someone has a shor and you lock the barn, and now he couldn't rent it out. So the klal is that in such a case it's a groma, and you're potter from paying. It's called mevatel kisei shel chaveray. Mevatel kisei shel chaveray. If you have someone's purse and you don't let it make money, mevatel kisei shel chaveray is potter. So why here are you chayiv? It's only a grama. So Ramesha says that mevatel kisei shel chaveira is only where your money is somewhere and I lock it up. You have no tviya to me for money. You have tviya to me. I did a certain maisa mazik. So if I'm a grama, I'm part. But if your tviya to me is I shouldn't have taken money, that I shouldn't have taken the money, then your tviya is a modernistic tviya, not a mazik tviya. It's not dine groma, it's dine geneva. And there, Ramesha says you have to pay. So anytime a person, if someone else has money and you lock it up so you can't make interest, there you don't have to pay. Only lots of sedesh mine, you're a groma. But if you take someone's money physically, and because of that he couldn't earn money, Ramesha says that you have to pay him. And it's kedine makas daf gimel that you have to pay whatever it's worth a person to have such money. The second half, he would have to let him use it to earn interest. The guf hakeren belongs to him. The gabai takes the place of the woman. Just like the woman has the keren, but she can't use it. The gabai has the keren, can't use it. When the husband will die, he'll get it back. He'll be able to use it. So this is what Ramesha said, Nigris Ramesha. Someplace earlier in the year, we had a Ketzais who said a similar thing. I don't remember where the Ketzais was. Who said a similar thing, that the Achiyuvei Mamin, similar to Makas Daf Gimel, where a person is mashpis someone else's money in such a way that they are such Achiyuvei Mamin. That, you find it from Yankee. Yeah? Remember what it was. Maybe someone will bump into it. Maybe I'll bump into it again. But I think there was a Ktzais that said a similar idea, that in such a case that it could be Chiyuvei Tashlumin. I don't remember the Ktzais's exact case. But it's a Chiddush. Most people say it's Ribbis. Most people would say. If I took away a person's $1,000 and I held it for a year, so now I'm giving, now that's Ganiv, I only have to give back the $1,000. Like I told you, if you steal the parah, you have to give back the parah. But I don't have to give back the $1,000. Money I lent someone, I just took it back. I do have to give back the hefse that he had. Now, this is Digris Meishit, whatever I spoke out till now. The horror I had on this is similar to what Zvi started to say, is in the story, in the Lamdis, I don't have any kashas. But just story-wise, who stole from the husband? The gabbai or the lady? Like that nekuda I don't understand. In the story, who's the one that stole this money from the husband? The gabbai is the one who stole it. The lady's the one who stole it. But she gave it away to someone to give away. She took the gabbai, she didn't sell it to the gabbai. Gabbai is a shliach. She told the gabbai, give this away. What?
That is maisel
being his rishos. So he's hashliach, so he's like a shliach of va'aveira, maybe. Huh? Because really, she's the one that gave it away. No, but I had a problem with that too. If you're going to say he's a shliach, so then the aniyim, he didn't spend, he gave it to aniyim. So either the aniyim are the ganovim, when they spent it, or the lady is the ganiv when she gave it out. Who's the gabbai? The gabbai is sort of just an innocent person in the middle. It doesn't sound like he's the ganiv.
That's why every single time the wife lady brings in money, she doesn't give it to the husband, she's the ganiv.
Every time the wife brings in money, she doesn't give it to the husband, she's a ganiv. Yeah, unless she's spending that money she's entitled to spend it on. She's into certain things she's entitled to spend on. But if it's money beyond, isn't she a ganiv? It's not true?
In a case where the husband doesn't know about the money,
she has to let the husband know. What do you mean? The sale is a sale.
The sale is a sale, and that's fine. In the case
so
the
now,
husband doesn't know about it, there's no issues. It can't be an issue.
What's if the husband knows or doesn't know? Why have to be?
Because if for instance, I think the halacha brings that, let's say I tell a husband about the woman has money that he didn't know about, so I'm chayav b'din shemayim.
Okay, if there's such a halacha, I'm surprised there should be such a din. If there's such a din, no, I won't.
Are
you shouting?
He says it depends. If he knows about it, so then about it,
and
the mechira is not a mechira. But if he doesn't know about it, so he
clears
between the
Ran
and the
Rosh. No, he brings some sin and tzaddik in Eben Ezer.
He says that the husband knows that it's not a mechira. The sin is not a mechira.
Okay. If the husband knows, even though he didn't take it.
As long as the husband knew, even if he would know she's supposed to get it, then she knew, once he knew that the Germany was planning on giving
what's as far as what? That once?
Because
Yassim
will only know if the husband just said what he knows about.
The dope sock doesn't make sense, then why should he get any money at all?
So Ramesh is saying, he's saying he's clever. He says, I don't know the case. He says, if the husband knew about it, so then the scene is not in the scene. Right. If the husband didn't know about it, then this is a good nesina and it's fine. In the end, that's good. Now the question is, what happens if the husband knew about it? So now the nesina is no good. But the gabbai took up or gave the money out. So now the money's not here. What do you now do? That's the shot in the end.
Okay. Does it answer my question about who the ganav is?
Doesn't answer my question.
Okay. All right, so then let's see the next memory in the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna. Amar Rav Huna, Meshbi and I say Shvur Sheina B'Shusai. All right, L'chayr, this Rav Huna belonged in the beginning of the sugya, before all of the different cases. It goes straight on the Mishnah. This doesn't go on all the cases, right? No. Pashup Shat in the Gemara. This Rav Huna has nothing to do with Daf Lamed Aleph. This goes on the Mishnah. What? Okay, good. So let's see what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Huna, Meshbi and I say Shvur Sheina B'Shusai. We make him swear a shur shein of Yishusai because v'chayshu shema ein of nasan bar. So Pneshu is mazber pshat that we say lo sachmaid is people don't understand lo sachmaid in shiba lo domi mashmi lohu. People think you only over an aveir if you take someone's thing and you don't pay for it. People think if you take someone's thing you do pay for it, so people think it's not an aveira. So that's why this person who's paying, rather than swearing, was still chayshid that maybe it's b'shu saying he's paying for it, and therefore mashpi and I say shvur shein or b'shu say. What Rav Moshe is ma'ir here, it's really not Rav Moshe, it's sma that he brings. Sma and Reish Tzadik Hei. It's ma'ir that, what's the case here? The Shomer voluntarily paid. Why did he pay? It could be he paid, he thinks it's a good investment. I doubt it. Just for the investment, I never heard that people should go around giving people money in case the par, in case it's careful. Mistami paid because he doesn't want to swear. The Shomer has really three shvuas. To be pati, he has to swear Shenignava and Shaloi Shalachti Boyad and Eina Bishusi. Mistama, the reason he's paying is he wants to get off the hook. So imagine. Here you have a person. He goes ahead and he pays money because he wants to be off the hook of a shvua. And then Rav Huna walks into Bez and Rav Huna tells him that you have to swear. He doesn't want to swear. So Rav Moshe says he doesn't understand the case here with Rav Huna. Rav Huna is saying you have to swear. Let the person taina. If you want me to swear, give me my money back. That's what Rav Moshe is asking. So Rav Moshe here brings a sma and his own opinion on this in this question. Before that, I just want to be magdim. Why is it from a yidden don't swear? Right? From a yidden, we all know you don't swear if you go to court. You don't swear. You say I affirm. Right? You don't swear. Why don't you swear? Why don't from yidden swear? Why is it a from kite not to swear? Now, if you're going to lie, so obviously you know you don't want to swear. But assuming you're going to tell the truth, why is it that it's a from kite not to swear? Huh? Why is it? Why do you think? There are two ways to understand why from yidden don't swear. One in Havana would be, because who knows, maybe it'll be a sheker. My intentions are good. But who knows, I'm going to swear, Shalai Shalachti Bayad, maybe one time unwittingly I was Shalai Bayad. That a person is afraid that it's going to be sheker. That's one way to understand the frumkeit, not to swear. This frumkeit is a Shulchan Aruch. It's an Aruch Chaim, it's in the Kufnut Vav, that people should avoid shvuos. So one way is, because who knows, maybe I made a mistake. Another Havana would be that no, even if I'm positive I'm not making a mistake, 100% positive. Still, to be Maitzi Shvua Mepiv, it's somehow, how would you explain it? It's a zilzal. Why is it a zilzal in? How do you explain it? What's the zilzal in swearing, even truth? What? Chil Hashem, Chil Hashem. Sure, the expression Chil Hashem is used. I'm not sure exactly. It's like it's such a davar chamor. You should be afraid to swear. Suicide davar chamor. You should be afraid to swear. What? What are you afraid of? It's a good question. What are you afraid of? Not worth the money. But let's say you're 100% positive you're telling the truth. Why would a person not swear? Who brought this Mishnah Berurah? I didn't bring it. Right? But it's in here. There's a siman Shulchan Aruch about going to work. It says the Seder of the day. You have to daven in the morning. Then in Shulchan Aruch it says you have to go from Beis HaKnesses to Beis HaMedrash. Shulchan Aruch it says you have to learn before you go to work. It's a sif in Shulchan Aruch. Achash yetzim Beis HaKnesses, yelach le Beis HaMedrash, yikve es lomayt. Then it says, achach kach yelach la'asakav. L'chal terash yinim ha-malacha sefer b'tay. Anyway, as I said, Shulchan Aruch, that you have to learn in the morning before you go to work. And yisav yitim be'amunah, you have to do your work honestly. Sounds easy when you're in yeshiva, but then it says v'yizar b'lishpa afilu be'emes. In Shulchan Aruch it says you should be careful not to swear even the truth. She'elef yareis hayali anei amelech. Yanei amelech had a malchus that included 1,000 cities. V'kulam nechrevu b'shvil shayu nishba and shvuais af al pi shayu makayim enaisa. Because they swore even though they kept their word. Shabbat doesn't say anything on this. It sounds in the Shulchan Aruch that even when it's true, a person shouldn't swear. Now, if you asked me, I would understand the Shulchan Aruch. That's a shvua al ha'asid. I'm swearing, I will do something. It shows the lack of Yiras Hashem. How do you swear you will do? Who knows? I would think a shvua on the avar, there's nothing wrong with. No? Let's say a person, I know for sure. I'm absolutely positive that yesterday was Monday. I can't swear that yesterday was Monday. There's a firm kind not to swear. I mean, to swear for no reason. I don't know, but let's say I have a reason to swear. I can't swear something that I'm positive about. So I don't know. It seems that this is really the nekuda of the machlokes between the Sma and Revelation. The Sma says the following. He says, getting back to our Gemara. The question is, this person paid. He doesn't want to swear. So what's going on now? You make him swear Shvua Sheina B'Shusa. It's up to Sma. No. It's not Shver. The other two Shvuas, Nignava, or Lashalachti Bayad, who knows? Maybe I made a mistake. A person, you can't be sure. It's hard to be sure. In many cases, you're not sure. So there, a person doesn't want to swear. But ain't a reshusi that I know. I know it was taken from my reshus. Maybe I was a pesheya. I don't realize it. That could be. But ain't a reshusi of the sma. That people are not afraid to swear ain't a reshusi. So it's not shver in Rav Huna. Rav Huna is saying you pay to get out of yenishvus, which really you're not supposed to swear because you can make mistakes easily. Shvush ain't a reshusi, big deal. Swear, which means the sma understands that the reason a person doesn't swear, why doesn't a person swear? The Sma understands because he might make a mistake. And Hayais, he might make a mistake. The Gemara makes sense that he paid to get off of the other two Shavuos, not off this. Rav Moshe understands not that way. Rav Moshe understands that a person doesn't want to swear, period. It's an umdina that a person who voluntarily paid, it's because he understands he's going to get off his shvua. Ramesha says, halacha l'maisa, that if the person wants the taina, I only paid because I'm off his shvua, you want me to swear, she'ena b'shusi, give me my money back? So Ramesha, he has a right to do that. He has a right to say, give me my money back, I paid the money on the das, I'm not swearing, and you're coming Rav Huna shvua, I want my money back. I'm not masking to the deal. And Rav Moshe says that a person could do that. That's what Rav Moshe understands. It's an umdina. Mistam, we would all understand that that's taka the oimid dasa adam. That when a person pays, that's his umdina, umdin das. Now, this nakuda that Rav Moshe says, which is never a mistaver. By the way, this is in addition to, we had the machlokes in the top toisvis, if a person says Hareini Mishalim, could he back out? If a person says Hareini Mishalim in Bezdin, could he back out? Rabbi Natam seemed to say the case, at least in the beginning of toisvis, that Stama Hareini Mishalim, the case in the Gemara, you could back out. And the Rosh and Rabbi Natam and the Tshuva said that you can't back out. Rav Moshe says, what I'm saying is not a steer to them. Hareini Mishalim, you can't back out. That's the Rosh says. You can't back out unless you have a new taina. If you want a taina, I don't want to swear shayna b'shusi, that's a new taina. You could back out. If the other person says, okay, I'll pati you, you don't have to swear any b'shusi, then you have to pay. When the Rosh said you can't back out, he means you can't back out of, you can't back out of what you obligated yourself. You obligated yourself to pay if you don't swear. That you can't back out of. And that, Ramayshin Demzon is Ladina. It seems the difference in Ramayshin Nisma is again why people don't want to swear. There's an interesting Shaila in a number of Tshuva Svarim. The most recent is the Ben Ish Chai. Today, Shavuos are not so common. This doesn't come up as much. But the Ben Ish Chai has a Tshuva Sefer Rav Pa'alim. He's Malakit, a Tshuva on this Shaila. There were two shutvim out of business. So each tshuva has a different story. Just to pick an easy story, one of the tshuvas, two shutvim had a business, and someone made a delivery, and he billed them. The delivery was for 70 lira, he says, 70 lira worth of money. And there was a bill, he owed him 70 lira. The deliverer billed him for 80 lira. He said, I only owe 70. He said, no, you owe 80. They went to court. It was a guy. They went to Gaisha court. The Gaisha court told the Yid that you're a mozik, however they say it in the Gaisha courts. You have the money. If you swear, then you're potter. You swear that it was only 70 and you're off the hook. The Yid didn't want to swear. So he went to the guy and they settled. He gave him 75 lira and they were off the hook. That's the Maaseh Shaya Kachay. So what happened next? The Shutif found out about this. The Shutif said, what? You're paying him 75 lira? You should have sworn in giving him 70. Why didn't you should have sworn in giving him 70? Who gives you a right to make a compromise and give him 5 extra? And this shutif said, if for your 5 lira, I'm not going to swear. I mean, I don't swear. I mean, who doesn't swear? Even though this is a case where I'm 100% positive I'm right, I mean, who doesn't swear? So the Rav Pa'alim brings a machlaikis achrayim, whether the shutif is right. To say, does he have a right to say, I don't want to swear, and I'm going to spend shutif's money not to swear? Or the other person could say, what do you mean? If you tell me, Mr. Sopik, if it's true, fine. But he's saying, you're sure it was 70, and you gave away 5 lira, you shouldn't swear, nothing doing. So he brings a machlaikis in the Paiskim, he brings earlier Tshuva Svarim, the Shail Meshiv, and the Heshiv Meshiv, and Tshuva Svarim from 150 years ago. They argued whether he has a taina. It would seem to me that the machlaikis comes down to the machlaikis that we're talking about. Why doesn't the frum yid swear? If you say a frum yid doesn't swear, because who knows, maybe a checker, then it's fine. If the reason the frum doesn't swear is because maybe a checker, so then if it's vadayemis, so what? There's nothing to talk about. If it's vadayemis, you should have sworn. If you're going to say that a frum yid doesn't swear, even if it's emis, It's a chumrah that you didn't have that we don't swear. We don't make shmuz. If you're going to nem on like that, then he has a right. A shutif, every shutif is adas. He's a frum person. Adas, whatever frum people normally do. Shutif can't tell a shutif, you should have worked on Shabbos. Every shutif is, whatever you don't speak out, is an indin of stam from you. The chayr, it should be telling you that. Yeah.
It's like a personal chumrah. I mean, although it maybe is taken on by numerous people,
I think it depends how you understand the mechaber. If it's a mechaber that says Yizoyer Melishba Afilu Be'emes, if it's a mechaber, so then you can't tie it to your shutif. You should have done different than what says a Shulchan Aruch, even though it's mutter. But
you have also mechabers that talk all the darim and shvus and things like that. You have
the Ar Hilchus Nedarim. The truth is, it's amazing when you think about it. There are 36 Masechtas in Shas. Of the 36, at least 4 of them are halachas of swearing. Nazir, Nadarim, Shavuos, and Erechin are all things that you really, I guess, not supposed to really do. You guys ever swore? Anybody ever swears? You should just know, when you say you're giving money to tzedakah, it has a shvuah. It's probably the only case that, if I don't know if there's a kitrik today, people from Yidden are very careful not to swear, I think. Erlich and Yidden are very careful. The only potential kitrik is when people promise money to tzedakah, shaloi b'lash and shvuah, it has a shvuah. Now, even if you promise to learn something, if the Gemara says, if you say, Ahareini loimim sech dezu, neder gadol nadar lelekei Yisrael. That's why a lot of people don't want to say it, right? It's a neder. A person has to do everything b'li neder. You make a Misha Beirach in shul for an aliyah, and you look in the Pele Yayitz. He says by Misha Beirach that you stay away from Misha Beirachs. I mean, the Misha Beirach part is good, but it should all be, has to be b'li neder. If a person makes a neder, it's a neder. It should be. B'li neder helps by tzedakah, yeah. I think in the art scroll Siddur, they printed the words b'li neder inside. Just the way it's not in the Atzmon. Maybe Sfarad Ashkenaz is different. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's interesting. This machlekes Ramesh and this man. You can ask me a question: what's the hesber in the Chumrah not to swear? Even if you're 100% sure it's true, I'm not sure. But this Ramesh does. What Ramesh does do is he plugs this into the Rush. Now the Rush is a little out of order. Yesterday we learned the Rush. There's a Rush on Rav Huna earlier in the Gemara. It's in the first column, right after the Hagos Hashri sticks in. There's a riff, the Rush brings a riff, and the Rush has pshat in the riff. If you look in the Ritva has a different pshat in the riff. And from the way Ramesh explains, this is also totally in this machlaikis. So Mitzvah Hashem, we'll do that tomorrow. And then I'd like to try to finish the Yomit tomorrow as well.